You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Dare to Love, a program for vocation awareness in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we discuss topics that are related to vocation discernment and promotion. And I am your host, Sister Lavina Pamet. I'm the coordinator for the religious ministries in the Archdiocese of Chicago under the Office for Religious. Today we are being joined by my co-host, and my co-host is Sister Mary Kay Brooks. She is calling from New York. Good morning, Sister Mary Kay.
Good morning. I'm having a great time in New York.
Wonderful. And also, this is part two of our show from last month. We had a special guest, and her name is Sister Debbie Borneman, who is from the NRVC, the National Religious Vocation Conference. Good morning, Sister Debbie.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Thank you for being with us. And it is October 4, and I was telling Sister Mary Kay and Sister Debbie that if I don't mention that this is the feast of the founder of the Franciscan Order, it's the feast of St. Francis today, St. Francis of Assisi. So for all Franciscans, a shout out. With the Franciscan Sisters of the Sacred Heart, we're celebrating this wonderful feast for us. And of course, all the blessings of the animals will probably be happening today too. So God bless everybody and enjoy the feast.
So, a special blessing to Pope Francis.
That's right. That's right. I know. We always are proud to say that, hey, even the Jesuit Pope is Franciscan, you see?
Yes.
Everybody secretly, whether they say so or not, everybody's Franciscan. That's what I think.
That's right. That's right.
So as part two of our program, this is Dispelling Myths, and we're using numbers. Sister Debbie is our numbers person in terms of not trying to recruit as many people as possible to replace roles and things like that. No. We are trying to dispel the myths of some misconceptions and probably not well-known or even misunderstood information about vocation ministry and the trends today. So Sister Debbie is here give some answers in terms of, from last time we were discussing how the trend is that there's an increase in men and women joining religious life. Is that correct, Sister Debbie?
Absolutely, and that's exciting news for us to share.
So we will continue. We had gone through the fact that there are a lot of religious institutes in the United States still going strong, and there may be less numbers than earlier from last century. But this century, it's starting to increase in terms of, it keeps on going up. And there's hope because of the work of NRVC and CAVA and all other, not just vocation directors, but really the focus of the parishioners, our families, and really in the encouragement that says, look, we would like you to be happy in your life, to respond to God's call. It's a universal call to holiness by virtue of our baptism. What that may be, whether it's staying single, being married, or becoming a priest, or becoming a sister or other forms of consecrated life. That is the important thing, right, Sister Debbie and Sister Mary Kay?
Absolutely. Yes. And I think, too, to recognize that we know that the total number of professed sisters, brothers, and priests is certainly declining. We recognize that. But it's an and thing. And at the same time, there's been a steady uptick of the number of entrants to religious life as well as number of professions. And that's what we're trying to focus on, is that keeping ourselves grounded, that of course the total numbers will continue to decline. We know that. We cannot replace the women and men who have committed their entire lives to religious life. But it's not as if there's no one that's entering or no one that's inquiring. And that's the good news that we want to get out to people, that women and men today still are inquiring about religious life, and they're discerning those choices with vocation directors and entering and staying for final profession.
It's really a special thing. Go ahead, Sister
Debbie. I have a question. Sister Debbie, as you said that, I was thinking there's more choices for men and women in this generation than any previous generation, so that discernment is such a key piece to find out what is God calling me at this time in my life, in this particular time in history. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think of my own sisters in my community, women who wanted to be teachers or they wanted to be nurses. And for them, they would enter religious life. They wanted to work in the church. And we know today that one of the greatest gifts that, in particular, women religious and brothers have given to our church is that we have educated and empowered people to become lay ecclesial ministers. So none of the ministries that we do as Catholic sisters and brothers, can we ever say, well, only a sister can do that or only a brother can do that? I think that's actually one of our greatest accomplishments, is that we have actually encouraged other people to become lay ecclesial ministers. And so when we look at the choices, I think you're absolutely right, Sister Mary Kay, is that it's not as if, well, if I want to be a Catholic school teacher or I want to be a catechist, then I would have to enter religious life. Well, no, religious life and that vocation is something very different from your career.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
I say that because the discernment piece is so critical. And our work as vocation directors is to help people discern, men and women, what is God calling us at this moment.
Absolutely, to accompany them and also to do some assessment as well, you know, to see does the person have the capacity to live vowed communal life. So it's not a choice for everybody. And we're not in a point of being desperate that, you know, just because someone would come to us and say, oh, I think God is calling me to religious life, that we would immediately admit them. That what you're saying, Sister Mary Kay, is this a mutual discernment with the person discerning as well as a particular religious community.
Yeah. So tell us, Sister Debbie, on the average, what age does a person first consider a vocation to religious life?
I love this question, Sister Lavina, because I think it puts a lot of things in perspective. You know, we do hear that, you know, when someone's getting ready to receive their first Holy Communion, that they think about, oh, I wonder what it would be like to be a priest or a brother or a sister. But that's not average. The average age that people first consider a vocation to religious life fluctuates between the ages of 17 and 20. And in particular, it's 19 years of age for men and 18 years of age for women. And why I find that so fascinating, and this is such a great question to start our conversation, is that if you think about it, today's inquirers, the people are first considering, like, could this be? Should, you know, like, what is it that God's calling me to be? Is they were born in 1999 and 2000.
Huh.
So let's put that in perspective. Today's 18 and 19-year-olds were born in 1999 and 2000. Why that's exciting is that they know nothing of religious life. It's history when we talk about the 20th century. So when we fall back to our comfort zones of talking about what religious life was like in the 50s and 60s, they cannot relate at all to that, let alone what religious life was like in the 90s. And so shows like this are just so important to say, like, well, so who are our Catholic sisters and brothers and priests today? Because our inquirers only know of us in the 21st century.
That's fascinating. You know, okay, so we probably should take a little break right now. And I would really like to pursue a little bit more about the average age of entrance when we come back. So let's take a break.
God, I am ready to begin. Here I am.
I come to follow you.
I've traveled long and far to follow you, a stranger and a pilgrim in this world.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to artschicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Speak, my God, I'm ready to begin. Here I am.
And we are back to Dare to Love. This is Sister Lavina with my co-host, Sister Mary Kay, calling in from New York, and Sister Debbie Borneman, our special guest. I just wanted to have a quick special mention and really a gratitude to our sound engineer, Mike May. A shout out to him, because I was just saying, like, when I get nervous, like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not prepared with this one. And he has such faith. And just to hear him say that everything will work out just gives me that boost. So thank you, Mike. Also, I just wanted to tell our listeners that really just talking about a vocation ministry just makes me realize how precious this vocation is. Three of us being sisters, really, with different backgrounds, and we're, you know, like somewhat, actually, Sister Mary Kay, if you remember from previous shows, I said she is a board member operating in mm-hmm. Chicago, and Chicago mm-hmm. is just one of the places to operate in. Now,
right.
Sister Debbie, people may not realize when we say National Religious Vocation Conference, you're operating out of Chicago, and that's why you're able to be here. But really, after this, you're going to fly out to South Carolina with your ministry with your community, and your operation really is national. So I'm just realizing that right now. So anyway, so I did promise.
Thank God for technology.
That's right. I did promise, okay, that we were talking about the average age of a person considering vocation to religious life. Now, as part of the trend, has this average age plus the age of entrance of those joining communities, has that increased or decreased?
So this is what's interesting, is that if we talked about earlier that the average age someone first considers a vocation to religious life fluctuates between the ages of 17 and 20, but they don't. Now, what has happened is that we used to say for years is that they don't enter religious life until the age of 30. And so what happens between that age of 17, 18, 19 to 30? Well, it's because the majority of those who enter religious life have a college degree. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about, like, those who are considering religious life are born in 1999 and 2000. So for them to say, like, oh, I'm interested, I'm thinking about religious life, but of course I'd go to college first and then mm-hmm. I'd enter religious life. That's the norm for them mm-hmm. to take that into mm-hmm. consideration. And even so, they go to college and then they get some work experience or some volunteer experience before making a life commitment. So mm-hmm. we had learned from our studies originally, between the years of 1994 and 2009, that the average age of entrance was 32 for women and 30 for men. And then for several years, it just stayed at the age of 30 for both women and men. But interestingly, the newest entrance class report that came out in 2017, that age decreased to 28 years of age for both women and men. So we're finding out that they're making a commitment to enter religious life at a younger age, 28 instead of 30. Now, there's two other things I want to point out here is that, you know, you might say like, well, wow, like, I don't, you know, like people used to enter right out of high school. How come they're waiting so long? Well, again, let's compare that to the other vocation of marriage. The average age a person gets married in the United States is 28 years of age. The same age. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. So that is fascinating.
It's not as if they're waiting to enter religious life because they have no other option or choice. They're waiting to get married as well. And so I think that's important. And the other thing that I think is important is that sometimes we hear the talk of that there's an increase in older inquirers, you know, that, you know, older people are entering religious life. And that's really not true. Hmm. There may be an increase in the number of inquirers, but not in the, there has not been an increase in the number of older entrants. Matter of fact, only 6% of the entrance class was over the age of 46.
I was going to ask about that. I was curious.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And then if you want the other stat that I think is even more sad, is just you're kind of like, wow, I didn't realize that only 3% are over the age of 56. And so you might, we might have it because it's a special interest story that someone enters religious life at the age of, you know, let's just pick a number, 58. But it really is unique versus it being the norm. The norm is that the average age of entrance is 28 to religious life, as is the average age of marriage is 28.
Huh. Well, what about the average age for those making perpetual professions then? Maybe since 2010, has there been a change?
Yeah, and that number has also gone down. It has also decreased when we talk about age. So the average age is 40 years of age for someone who is making final profession, and we're anticipating because, by the time someone enters religious life and makes profession, there's usually about 8 years involved. So the profession classes, the ones who are making it now, are those who entered 8 years ago. So we're still seeing that average age of 40, but we're thinking that's going to go down just because of the entrances going down. So it used to be the average age was 43, and now it's gone down to 40. And just in 2016, it was at 38. So we're thinking that number will slowly dip. What were you saying, Sister Mary Kay?
Oh, I was going to add into that piece about the entrance age at 28. And marriage at 28. I have three women right now that I'm journeying with in discernment, and all three women are also dating. Mm-hmm. So they are really discerning, and they're 24, 28, and 40. Mm-hmm. So they're really in that age bracket that you're speaking of where they're making a life commitment. They're just not sure which commitment to make, and they're phenomenal women who are committed to making a good decision. They're discerning carefully. They have told the men that they are dating that this is part of their discernment. They're trying to figure out their life's journey and what God is calling them. And they're just, it's just such a privilege to walk with them in this discernment piece.
You know, you bring up such a great point, Sister Mary Kay, and I'm glad you said that, because so often that misconception is that, you know, if I'm discerning religious life, then I can't be dating at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that kind of refutes the whole idea of that's what discernment is. Discernment
right.
is making you're going to be making a decision. What's God's dream for you? And so to be able to try out and to look at dating is so important, because you build relationship skills when you date, you know. That's one of the questions that vocation directors will ask, you know, like, what's your dating experience? So thank you for saying that. And that if someone first considers a vocation at the age of 18, 19, and they haven't entered till 30, our hope is that they have had some dating experience
along
the way.
Right. Yeah, I think that's very. So this is such interesting information. When we come back, I think I would really like to know more, you know, like in terms of the religious religious institutes and people information. And something about, we were talking about dating, what about those who are never married, or if there are entrants maybe that have been married, maybe if you have that information. So we'll be back. Don't go away. Don't touch the tile. This is Dare to Love.
And a pilgrim in this world. Sometimes I wonder what this journey will bring, and you guide me faithfully to find a home in you.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
And we are back to Dare to Love. This is Sister Lavina with Sister Mary Kay and Sister Debbie,
Hi.
Our guest. So we'll continue with our dispelling the myths about vocation ministry and the numbers that Sister Debbie is bringing us from the studies about religious life in the United States. And so the first thing that I would like to ask, okay, so we'll do a true or false, okay? True or false, the majority of religious institutes have at least one person in formation, Sister Debbie.
That answer is true, and Mary Kay got that as well, is that we really have to pay attention to that since 1993, we know the majority of religious institutes have had at least one person in formation. 66% of religious institutes and 80% of men's religious institutes have someone in formation. And again, why is that good news? Is because when someone is saying yes to religious life, it's the all of religious life. It's not to necessarily one particular religious institute, their style, their lifestyle or their charism, but they're saying yes to religious life. So we celebrate that.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So the next one is true or false. The majority of inquirers, discerners, applicants, and those in initial formation lack the parental and family supports. True or false?
Unfortunately, that's also true.
Oh.
And we have to pay attention to that because the majority of inquirers and discerners and people in formation, they're most likely to be encouraged by members of their religious institute, not by their family. And so when we look closer at the study from 2009, it clearly showed that only 30% of parents encouraged their children when they first considered a vocation to religious life. And that number has gone down. So the last profession class report, only 24% of mothers and 17% of fathers encouraged them to consider a vocation to religious life. Now, if we want to go into numbers more specifically, on the flip side of that, our newer entrants Actually, 38% of them said that they were encouraged by their parents. So maybe that might be reversing a trend. But when you're talking about 30%, 17, 24, 38, clearly that's showing us that the majority of those who are discerning a vocation to religious life and our newer members don't have the family support. So we want to see how is it that we can provide accurate information about religious life, not just to discerners, but to parents and to grandparents as well, who may not have a living memory of a Catholic sister, brother, or priest, so that how is it that then they can articulate the good news about religious life? And that's why radio shows like this are important, to be able to get out that accurate information on who religious are in the 21st century today.
I want to add to that. I think that's a great area where we need to have some more shows where we bring in parents to say their sons, their daughters, they're happy, they're excited, they're fulfilled in who they are being called to, and they're becoming greater persons than they already are, as all of us should become as we age. But I think to have the parents involved in a radio show like this, as you said, Sister Debbie, that we get them on and have them answer questions specifically what their fears are and how we can address those fears.
Right. So, we're nearing the end of the show. But there's just one more, and I think this is where, again, the work of NRVC is very important. It's the last true-false question here. The majority of those entering religious life have earned at least an undergraduate degree, and whether you answer true or false also depends on something with a degree, and that's...
Absolutely. So the answer to that is true as well, is that 73% of those who are entering religious life have earned at least an undergraduate degree or a graduate degree before entering religious life. And so we talked about that a little earlier, is that that's become the norm for entrance today. You go to college and then you enter religious life. And that delay of first thinking about a vocation to religious life and entering, one of the hiccups in that delay is with everyone today is, how do I pay down student debt?
Right.
Because when you enter religious life, you have to enter debt free. Mm-hmm. And so how do we work with young people today to help them to minimize those college bills? And we at NRVC have a fund, the National Fund for Catholic Religious Vocations, nfcrv.org, that we've been able to help, I think, close to 40 men and women who have entered religious life to pay off their debts. And so that's something you can go to their website or our website to find out more information about. And again, taking a look at perhaps a hiccup of why people are delaying their entrance, or even walking away thinking there's no way I'm going to be able to pay off my debt, so I might as well walk away from that dream, to be able to say, no, we're able to help you out.
Right.
I have a little short story, if we have time, that a sister that I knew who had college debt, her parish, her home parish where she grew up, did fundraisers to help pay off her college debt so they could support her dream to enter a religious congregation.
That's great.
So there's creative ways to do it.
Yeah, and it involves the whole community. That's
correct.
The way it should be, right? Right. So we have 1 minute. So Sister Debbie, if you have any, I guess your last message at this point that you want to spread to all our listeners, parishioners, parents, grandparents, and discerners.
So my last message is to help us to, by simply inviting someone to consider a vocation to religious life. It's just as simple as you see someone, they're actively involved, they're volunteering their time, they have a good prayer life, you know, to just go ahead, have the courage to walk up to them, to be able to say, you know what, I noticed that, you know, you have leadership skills, you're a prayerful person. Have you ever considered a vocation to religious life? That's the message that I want to share today.
That's great. And Sister Debbie, so we know how to access the NRVC website and the resources, because you do have lots of materials that are accessible to the public, and you have some of the studies and summaries of information that needs to go out there. So how can we access that?
Sure. You can go right to our website at nrvc.net. And again, there's a lot of resources that are open to the public. There's also an online store that you can purchase brochures and prayer cards that you can, you know, give out to people today. And don't just give them out to potential inquirers. Give them out to the parents and the grandparents who have some of these same misconceptions about religious life today.
Right.
So it's at nrvc.net.
Thank you. Because in previous programs, Sister Mary Kay and I actually used the NRVC resources of frequently asked questions about religious life. So all that material and more would be available. So we thank you for visiting us today, Sister Mary Kay. Thank you for joining us from New York. And you have a flight to catch, Sister Debbie. So if you missed other podcasts on this radio show, they are available from the Archdiocesan website. And if you need to reach me, I'm Sister Lavina at vocationscava.org. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Bless you. Thank you.